We know it's been 7 days since we last blessed you with an episode, and we shouldn't have left you. However, we promise you that it was worth the wait, as we are approximately 1 week away from all of the action set to take place on Christmas Day that will feature a five-game slate consisting of primetime matchups that involve the NBA's premier stars. And by the time this episode drops, we will know which team has officially taken home the second annual NBA Cup out in Sin City, as the championship matchup has officially been set and a new champion will be crowned. What's going on, world, and welcome to the new 24 podcast, episode 6, for all of those keeping score on the game, wherever you may be tuning into us from throughout your day-to-day commute or travels during this holiday season. I'm your host, Gabriel Wilkins. And as you know, I'm joined once again by my co-host and brother, the man of many talents, Torrence Stagger, to discuss all of the latest news to shape up over the last several days as it pertains to the association. What's happening with you, man?
What's good, man? Episode 6, man. Let's go.
Let's do it. In last week's edition of the New 24 podcast, me and Torrence took an extensive period of time to give you a preview on all of the latest matchups that went down during the quarterfinal round of the NBA Cup, alongside of sharing our predictions on which teams will come out on top in each contest and officially punch a ticket to Las Vegas for the semifinal round, as well as examine the recent play of both the Atlanta Hawks and New York Knicks through the first quarter of the regular season, prior to assessing the up and down stretches of play involving the Minnesota Timberwolves and Denver Nuggets out in the West. Now, we'll seek to shift back into a discussion exclusively around the NBA Cup, as me and Torrence will take out the time to examine the championship matchup, but also share our thoughts on the event and the things we think might lie ahead within future years to come pertaining to it, in addition to recapping a few things that went down during the semifinal round of the NBA Cup, so much more. But before we take time to get into the main topics at hand this week, let's take a moment, as we always do, to pay respects and give a shout out to some of the top performances and more over the last week in our opening tip-off segment on the New 24 podcast, beginning with a pair of Western Conference teams that made it rain out in the Bay to close out the weekend, as the defending Western Conference champion, Dallas Mavericks and Golden State Warriors, squared off at the Chase Center and provided fans with an offensive explosion, combining for an NBA record 48 three-pointers made on the evening, as the Mavericks, led behind a triple-double performance by Luka Doncic and former All-Star Klay Thompson's 29 points on 7 triples in his second game back as a visitor in San Francisco, will prove to be enough to help Dallas prevail 143 to 133 in a back-and-forth affair between the two squads that met up not too long ago in the Western Conference Finals in 2022, in addition to an all-star guard out in the Eastern Conference who continues to etch his name further in the franchise record books among the past greats, and Jalen Brunson. The Knicks guard registered his 61st 30-point game in New York as the former Villanova product dropped 31 points to go with 5 assists in a road dub against the Orlando Magic last weekend to tie the legend Walt Clyde Frazier for 8th most 30-point outings in franchise history. Torrence, we know that due to the focus being primarily on the NBA Cup, that there wasn't too much action taking place across the league last week. However, based on the games that you did see or news that was reported, what is the one thing that managed to catch your eye around the association since the last time we recorded?
Oh man, Lonzo Ball in his last game. Yeah, 8 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, like 23 minutes. Lonzo definitely been on the trade block pretty much since the season started. He on his last year of his deal. He's been hurt pretty much his whole time on the Bulls. But I mean, in the minutes he's played, when he has played, he's still been proven to be one of the more versatile and effective players in the league. And I'm looking forward to possibly a contending team try to pick him up at the deadline, or a team in the middle, maybe like the Lakers or the Warriors, or even to pair him up with his brother down in Charlotte. You know, so just really want to get like Lonzo a shout out.
Yeah, Lonzo's been playing some impressive basketball, and even though he's been dealing with some injuries, such as a wrist injury that kind of sidelined him for a couple weeks this season, whenever he's in the lineup, be it off the bench or even in a starting role, he's always made a positive contribution, and that's what you love to see. He's been a true professional. Hopefully, he can continue to stay healthy and find himself a role on a contender sometime very soon, because as we know, being here in the city of Wynn, where we're recording from, how much value he can provide a team. And he's been able to do that since his career began in New Orleans as well. So, or with the Lakers, excuse me, and then going to New Orleans. So, I'm excited and eager to see what lies ahead in his future as long as he can stay healthy. But one guy that stood out to me over the last week in the NBA comes from a team that is among the bottom of the pack in the Western Conference. However, if you told Utah Jazz fans that John Collins would be the most efficient player on their team, I don't think they would have believed you. This guy's in the midst of a 50-40-90 season, and through 25 games played, he's shooting 53% from the field, 43% from three-point land, and 92% from the free throw line. So he's officially a member of the 50-40-90 club as we speak. And he's putting himself in a position to not only be considered as a candidate for most improved player of the year, if you ask me, albeit on a bad team, he's also putting himself in a position to be a premier trade candidate as well. I mean, I'm not saying that he is the most improved player, but when you look at the numbers that he's putting up, he's in the midst of a career season, and he's doing it as a starter, playing alongside of Walker Kessler at the five spot. And if you watch Utah last season, you would know that that wasn't a good combination, as it wasn't a great deal of floor spacing. But John Collins, since he's improved his ability to shoot the three ball, has had a great year in Salt Lake City for himself. And even though that contract, had a lot of people wondering whether or not they should even consider taking him on, if he continues playing at the level that he is, I would not be surprised if a team that's in the thick of the play-in race, such as Detroit Pistons, might want to look this guy's way.
Man, look, John Collins been in the league. Bro, John Collins been in the league a long time, bro. You talking about him for most improved player? Like, I feel you, but come on, man. Like,
I'm gonna pull up the numbers.
nah,
I'm gonna pull up. I'm gonna pull
numbers
up the
don't
numbers.
matter. The numbers don't matter.
I'm not saying that it's
That
the end
man been
all
in
be
the
all, but we gotta
NBA.
give the guy his credit now.
That man, he the new Taj Gibson or something. That man been in the league a long time. That most improved is reserved for like guys 5 years in the league and under. But I feel the sentiment though. I understand the sentiment.
He's in year eight of his career. He's in year eight of his
That
career,
man is a vet.
and he's averaging 18 points per game, alongside of 8 rebounds and nearly 3 assists a game. Having a 50-40-90 season as a starter. Like I said, I know it's Utah. I know this isn't the Jazz teams of old that we grew up under. Jerry Sloan, rest in peace and the like, but he's doing his thing over there. And I'm telling you right now, there will be some contenders that come calling for his service. As you know, Danny Ainge will seek to flip him for his highest value while the iron is hot. You know he will.
Yeah, I mean, I hope my team don't get John Collins, but shout out to him though, nonetheless.
Yeah, he's having a great year, the man out of Wake Forest. But we're gonna get away from the opening decor segment portion of the show to get into the annual in-season tournament that we now know as the NBA Cup. As many fans, including other figures around the league, will have their eyes set exclusively on two teams who are still left standing as of this recording, with a shot to play for the grand prize of $500,000 in the second annual championship game of the NBA Cup out in Las Vegas. The Milwaukee Bucks, who enter week 9 with a 14-11 record through 25 games, knocked off the Orlando Magic in the quarterfinal round last week to advance to the semifinal round in the City of Lights, where they would go on to defeat the Atlanta Hawks to represent the East in the NBA Cup title game after falling short just a season ago at the hands of their division rival in the Indiana Pacers, while the Oklahoma City Thunder, who boast the best record in the West, survive in advance after knocking off a pair of Texas teams this past week in the knockout round stages by defeating the Dallas Mavericks in the quarterfinals and the Houston Rockets in the semifinals in Vegas to get one step closer to the big money. So, Torrence, after a total of 120 group play games, four quarterfinal matchups, and two semifinal outings, it all comes down to this. I know last week that we took the time to share our predictions on who we thought would make it to the Final Four portion of the NBA Cup held out in Vegas for the second season in a row, in addition to who would make it to the championship game. This game will have gone final by the time this episode officially drops for all of our listeners to hear. However, before I give you the chance to share your predictions on who you believe will go home with the 500K and trophy in hand, I'd like to know, what are your thoughts on the NBA Cup as an event through the first 2 years it has been in existence under Commissioner Adam Silver? Starting off by just simply asking you, what are some things that you have enjoyed seeing thus far in the NBA Cup through the first 2 years of the event?
I mean, one thing I've liked seeing is just the superstars stepping up. This year, you got Giannis. Last year, you had Bron, AD. Just seeing, like, the superstars of the league take the game serious. Like, we recognize what those guys look like in an NBA final setting, and to see them bring that same type of intensity to these games is definitely probably one of the better aspects of the tournament. And also, the young teams. Last year, we had the Indiana Pacers, and Tyrese Halliburton was able to make a name for himself. This year, I guess you could say the OKC is that team. Well, and Shea has the opportunity to make a name for himself in a championship environment. And just, you know, anytime you get to see people win money, man, that's always cool.
Yeah, I agree with you on the money part. Like, it was nice to hear Jalen Williams of the Thunder discuss how they really want to win this tournament and use this as a preview of what the playoffs will be like. And they were talking about how not only did they want to win this tournament and view it as a like playoff setting, but they wanted to win it on behalf of their brother, Jalen Williams, who's been out, you know, for the majority of the year. I don't think he's playing the game this season due to a hamstring injury, but they were saying that they wanted to win 500K for him and how, you know, he was eager to see them in the NBA Cup and was letting guys know the scores of games and what they had to do in order to clinch, you know, their group and move on and advance to the knockout rounds. I like that aspect of it because I think a lot of fans are quick to look at these games for the stars, and rightfully so. Rightfully so, understandably so. You want to see these guys perform at a high level, especially the guys that have been on big stages in the past in an effort to make this event what it needs to be in future years. However, it's also nice when you can see certain role players that aren't used to getting those max contracts or the big checks that their star counterparts get, find a way to get the money. Like, I know you brought up, I believe, a couple of episodes ago, how Christian Wood, last year when he was a member of the Lakers, used the money that they won beating the Pacers to get his mother a house. You know, that's a cool aspect of it. And I think that the thing that I like about the NBA Cup is that it allows fan bases who don't always have the chance to vie for an NBA championship to rally behind an event in the effort to see their team win it. You know, like, even though they didn't get to the knockout round stages, the Detroit Pistons went into the final game of group play undefeated, and they had a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell that really ignited the team and the coaching staff, and a lot of their fan base was really getting into it. And that's what I like, you know. And I had a chance to go to an NBA Cup game this season for the first time here in Chicago when the Bulls and Celtics played, and even though the Celtics ended up beating the Bulls and eliminating them in group play, it was cool to see guys taking a game serious, trying to get to that money, you know, and that's what I like the most about it, man. It's a beautiful event to me, and even though it's still relatively young and there's some things that I have to learn about as a fan in regards to, like, how point differential plays a part, who makes it and who doesn't and the like, I really like the event because it's raised the stakes a little bit in games that, let's be real, most fans may not have been interested in tuning into, you know, if not for the stakes being higher.
Yeah, I don't want to just jump too far ahead on that, but yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see guys win the money, the role players, this, that, you know, and the like. But at the end of the day, I just want to see competitive basketball. And if that's what it takes to bring it out, then so be it.
Agree, but a recent article from Joe Gardner, The Athletic, examined how both the Bucks and the Thunder will have to make the trek back from Vegas to rejoin the rest of the league for regular season play, as both teams will have games to follow this rather soon, despite playing with much shorter rotations through this event in a fashion most fans see during the postseason. OKC's regular season schedule will resume on Thursday night against the Magic in Orlando, followed by another contest with the Heat down in South Beach, while the Bucks will get a couple of days off prior to getting prepared for a showdown on the road with the Cavaliers out in the land on Friday, before squaring off against the Wizards at home the following night on Saturday. Reigning NBA Coach of the Year and Thunder head coach Mark Dagnall and Bucks head coach Doc Rivers both went on the record saying how if there is one thing that they like to change about the event, it's giving the teams that play in the final a chance to get back in the regular season with a cushion of some sort, as opposed to going from a variety of different time zones you typically wouldn't see as part of a road trip on the NBA calendar. We know that this is one of Adam Silver's many experiments that he has utilized in recent times to enhance the on-court product for fans, with the other one being the play-in tournament toward the end of the year to determine who will get the seventh and eighth seeds in both the East and West, respectively. What do you believe can be done to make the NBA Cup better in the future and regard it as a special event in the eyes of fans?
Well, like number one, even the coaches complaining about the whole road trip and needing time off and the break and all of that has nothing to do with us. Like, it has nothing to do with us. Though you already got a problem with a league where you got guys not playing in prime time matchups, a lot of injuries, and so forth. And now we get to this point where we got some competitive basketball, and then we got the coaches bringing up the whole rest factor again. It still goes back to the concept of rest. And it's like right now we shouldn't be hearing about anything but competitive basketball. That's it. That's it. You want to jump in and get me back on track with
Yeah,
you?
like, but
Like,
what do you believe can be done to make it better in
well,
the future and regard it as a special event? Because they didn't just say that. They were asked if there is one thing that they would like to change, what would they change?
and that was
And
the headline, right?
yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying in the article. Mark Dagnall and
Yeah.
Doc Rivers were asked if it was one thing they could change about the event, it's giving the teams that play in the final a chance to just get back into the regular season with a little bit of a like break. That's all they
Man,
said. They were asked that. I'm
damn,
asking you, I'm
y'all need
asking you, I'm asking you, Torrance, what do you believe can be done to make it better in the future? From a fan perspective,
Nah,
I'm
I
not
know,
asking
man.
you to do that on behalf of the players.
Nah, I know, man. But I just like, yeah, it's just the whole all the rest stuff. But to make the tournament and the cup itself better, one, I'm gonna get rid of those silly ass courts. We don't need the courts. Like, who is that for? You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't. Nobody like turns on the game, see those courts, and be like, you know what I should do? I should take this game serious right here. It looks like an exhibition. And that's not what we are in a tournament for a trophy and money. This is not an exhibition. So, enough with the silly ass courts. Enough with the silly ass jersey. put a patch on the jerseys. No, I mean, I'm just saying, but like, we do need to just get back to traditional home in a way, because sports is simple. You got the home team, you got the road team. You shouldn't like turn on the game trying to figure that out. Oh man, I'm serious.
I know you are. You're not the first person I've heard say that, by the way.
Because it's just like a, it's like you eat with your eyes first, right? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If I turn on a European soccer match and there's people in the crowd fighting and they chanting, like, I don't care what the score is, who the two teams is. I'm locked in. I know what's going on. So you got to create the visual and the atmosphere for people to believe in what they seeing on the screen. So hey, pump some noise in or whatever, but just make the atmosphere better. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna start with the court thing. Two, I mean, group play is cool, but I would like to see a bigger single elimination tournament. Like, even if the NBA Cup itself was just like a 2-3 week NCAA tournament style tournament. You get a top four seeds, a first round bye, and everything is single elimination until we get to Vegas. That's ultimately like would be the biggest change I would make.
How would you determine the top four seed? Based on regular season record from the previous season?
Man, that could be a way, because ultimately none of this matters without the regular season being valued more. So if that's an incentive, you got the top two seeds from, or how, put it like this, the team with the best record in the conference for the regular season and the conference champion of the playoffs. So you got two West teams, you got two East teams. And if it happens to be the same team, then pick the second team, whatever. But yeah, I go single elimination, because as a fan, that's just the easier concept to get. And once again, you want to incentivize intense play. It's like, hey man, one game, you out the tournament.
One thing that I believe could be done to make the event better is having cup games specifically within like the middle to latter portion of the week. I understand that cup days are have been designated through the first two seasons is Tuesdays and Fridays. I have no problem with Friday nights being designated for cup play. I have no problem with that at all. But I would prefer for it to be a Wednesday and Friday nights. And the reason why is because that's really when the premier nationally televised games come on. And I believe if you want to make that an event that stands out to the national consumer, put it on the days when you have your double headers, which is on ESPN Wednesday and ESPN Friday. I would do that. I understand your point when you talk about the courts and the loudness of them. Year one, that definitely took a lot for me to get used to. I didn't mind it this time around, although the Nuggets court, that's a different story. There's a lot going on with that yellow, but I guess that's a way of trying to appeal to the younger demographic. And if that's what helps to appeal to it, I'm fine with that. I am, because
Man,
you haven't.
I'm damn near 50 years old,
No,
man.
you're not.
No,
Don't lie. Don't lie. No,
I'm
you're not.
damn near 50 years old,
No,
bro.
you're not.
Hey,
You
look.
ain't damn near 50.
Hey, I'm of age to buy tickets and pay cable bills and the like. I don't care about what no kids want to see on the screen, man. Respect me and my contribution.
No, I do, because the game, it's a kid's game at heart. So, and you know what?
Well,
It's a
to
game
who?
that's supposed to keep us young.
Hey, my parlay ain't got nothing to do with kids, man.
Oh, Lord. That's another
Yeah.
story for another day. But what I think could be done to make it better is having the cup games on Wednesday, Fridays. I like the fact that they added like a special basketball for games that are played during the NBA Cup. I don't know if you paid attention to that. But like they need to figure out exactly how they're going to schedule the final game. I'm not so sure if I like the final game being played so soon. Like, you might want to move that to a later date. Maybe like prior to the trade deadline, like in mid-January following the national championship game, or before the All-Star game. I think you need to move that final to give fans the opportunity to go through it, because last minute, it's a lot of things that may come up, and everybody's not able to just drop everything and get to the game. Like, I read a story where the Atlanta Hawks, after beating the Knicks, they had about like 24 hours to get to Vegas just for a team practice,
That's
on a
crazy.
on
That's
Friday, which was pretty much probably nothing but a walkthrough. So it's just crammed in a lot. And I think in the future, that's something that Adam Silver and the people at NBA and that work for the NBA are gonna have to look at for future years. And I know you brought that up on episode one when we talked about the cup in regards to them potentially moving it to like Super Bowl Sunday or near Super Bowl Sunday or something like that. I don't think they would do that, because when Super Bowl Sunday comes, it's usually like right after the trade deadline. But if you could move it to like the middle of January, like around MLK weekend, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was pretty much about to say. It's like, look, nobody cares about the NBA until Christmas. No, the tournament cool. I like it. I love it. Whatever. Nobody cares about the NBA until Christmas. Start the tournament on Christmas. And like you said, end it around MLK weekend, whatever.
I don't think I will start it around Christmas.
I mean,
That's
I'm
just
sorry.
me. But
Man, look, look.
I do believe that the
What's
finals
what is
should
the
be
goal?
played after New Year's.
What's wrong with starting it on Christmas? What's the problem?
Well, if you do that, I mean, I thought the purpose of the NBA Cup, when they said that they were doing this event, was to incentivize early season games. Or games played during the early part of the regular season through the first quarter. So if you're trying to incentivize games through the first quarter of the regular season, which is the first 25 games, I would assume that that's when the NBA Cup would start. I don't have a problem when it starts. I just have a problem when they have the finals set up.
But let me go against that point right there, though, right? Let me go against that first point. Incentivize pretty much more competitive games at the beginning of the season, right? For the last few years, you've noticed that the seasons have been starting slower and slower in regards to stars playing and just like overall energy levels. Guys don't play many games in the preseason. The tournament doesn't start till the middle of November. And yeah, guys care, but I feel like guys more so look up and care. Like, oh, okay, we got a chance to get there. Like now, the last week of it, let's go in, let's go hard. I feel like guys play how they gonna play at the beginning of the season, regardless. Everybody starts off with a chance to set the tone for the season. And like you said, by the game 25, we can pretty much pinpoint. If it's 30 teams in the league, we know the 10 that's guaranteed missing the playoffs. Now, if you start the tournament later around Christmas or a little bit after, those teams like you just saw the Brooklyn Nets starting to tank. They traded Dennis Schroeder. Now they about to trade Cam Johnson. And all of a sudden, a team that could have made the play-in is clearly about to make sure they don't make the said play-in. But see, a team like that, by the time Christmas and through January comes, when they should be trade focused, might actually wait closer to the deadline because guys want to have an opportunity to try to win that money. Especially if you do it my way, single elimination style. That means you probably only need to win six or seven games to get that money.
See, a single elimination format would be interesting for a given year. I don't see the league going to that, but that would be intriguing to see. I know you also talked about the possibility of having group play set up in a division-like format where teams would go off go
Just
up
play their
against
regular
teams that win their
divisions.
division. Yeah,
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing that like every 4 years if it was possible.
I mean, they
Just
have,
to give it a different twist.
but I don't know if most people notice, like, they actually have trophies for each division that's named after a former Hall of Famer.
Yes,
So,
they
you
started that
know,
up a couple seasons ago.
yeah, like the way that they have a Larry Bird Eastern Conference Championship and a Magic Johnson Western Conference Championship, they actually have trophies for the division winners. But I won't just say the casual fan doesn't know, but like, we got the Central Division. We don't feel, I mean, like, we know the Bucks right there, Detroit. So geographically, we know this a rivalry, but I feel like if we got to do the group play thing, then yeah, let's just go all out with the division matchups. You know, put the trophy on the line. Maybe you get some fans who try to travel from, you know, game to game, because we know most of the division games are going to be crammed into this part of the schedule. And now you kind of got more of a college atmosphere at, like, start to it, where it's like, it's, you know, it's geographic rivalry playing a part in it.
Jalen Williams of the Oklahoma City Thunder was recently asked about his thoughts on the crowd in Vegas. And for those who don't know, they're playing these games in Las Vegas for the second year in a row at T-Mobile Arena. T-Mobile Arena holds, I believe, 21,000 capacity-wise. And I believe on average for the NBA Cup, the league has been getting anywhere between 17,000 to 19,000 fans in attendance for this event. And he was talking about how, like, the crowds, they're not as into the game as they would be in Oklahoma. He was saying that. And he was saying he thought that it would be interesting potentially in future years if I don't want to be, I don't. I'm sorry if I misquote him, but just to paraphrase what I believe I read, I believe he said or someone else said that they wouldn't mind seeing the games for the NBA Cup final play in the city where the team, where the higher city, the higher seeded team, excuse me, has home court. Do you like the NBA Cup final being played in a neutral setting? Or would you like to see it played in the backyard of a team that has home court advantage for the event?
Now, I like that it's played in a neutral setting. It just means that the league got to do a better job of making the league itself an event. It should be a thing where right now somebody should be somewhere saying, I'm going to get the tickets to that cup final next year, because I know the game going to be intense. It's going to be money on the line. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Like, they have to create that image for the tournament. The site, I mean, the site is the site, you know. Like, last year, Bron was there, and I mean, maybe because it was LA, so I know that's, you can drive from LA to Vegas, you know. So, you know, like I just mentioned previously, like, geography does, it does matter. But the Lakers are a national, like, a brand. They just have to do a better job of promoting the event overall and making it an NBA fan's dream, pretty much. That's
I don't disagree with you on that part.
that's why, like, it's like all of this should just be one weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got your 3-point dunk contest rookie game Friday night. You get your NBA Cup final Saturday night. You get your All-Star game, however they want to fix that, East and West Sunday night, and just get it all over with, bro. Like, they doing, like, I
Oh,
get it.
hold on, because you're talking a lot. So are you saying that the NBA
He
Cup
said you're
needs to be
talking a lot.
blended? No, are you saying that the NBA Cup needs to be blended with All-Star Weekend?
I
Is
mean, if
that what
they,
you're saying?
I'm saying that if they having problems trying to sell the arena out, which ain't my job to figure out for them, but I'm just saying, as a fan, right? If you tell me I'm gonna get to see on Friday night some cool tricks and events and some rookies and sophomores, so there you go. There go your game for the youth. You want to paint the court. You want to put 3D glasses on everybody. You want to put lights around the rim. Do all that Friday night. Saturday night, we got the two teams that, you know, they about to play for this money. And then Sunday night, you know, we got the All-Star game, you know, and maybe the guys that's in the finals of the NBA Cup, they don't play. And Sunday night, you got the All-Star game, trade deadline. We roll into the second half of the season for the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
But the trade deadline, so now you see,
this needs to be a
this
needs to
help
be
you
a
stay on point.
mid-season thing. This needs to be a mid-season thing.
I'm trying to help you stay on point with your shit, dog. Like, real shit. Are you saying that the trade deadline need to be after the All-Star break? Because
Nah,
you
okay.
Just agreeing with a lot you're
Nah,
saying.
you said nah. See,
I respect
you focusing
your
on the wrong.
opinions
Are
on
you focusing on the wrong part? Let's just throw that
No.
time. No, nah, throw the trade deadline part out of it. Your initial thing was going back to the fact that they're playing these games in Vegas in an arena that's 21,000 capacity. You got 19,000 last year. You got 16,000 this year. The first thing people online was talking about with the games, the semifinals games, was, man, you could, it's visibly empty seats in that arena. I'm saying that right now, if you told me the NBA Cup final was in Miami last year, I still don't feel like I need to buy that ticket to go to that NBA Cup final, other than like, man, I am going to Miami or whatever, but Vegas is supposed to be that same type of feel. But ultimately, I am there to watch a basketball game. And right now, you can't count on it being a great basketball game there. That Pacers-Lakers game wasn't just raw last year. It was cool, but it wasn't like, it was just raw. Now, this Bucks-Thunder game, from a talent and actual basketball standpoint, I do believe it could be a great game, but you got to create an atmosphere. That's why I said blend it in with the All-Star weekend if possible. But then that goes back to me saying they need to push it back, the tournament back further. It shouldn't be at the beginning of the season.
As of recent times, fans and analysts have not sought to hold back about their gripes as it pertains to the game, as we've seen across social media, as well as heard within a variety of digital spaces lately. But have you seen the rise in competition from the players that you expected to see prior to the event being inserted into the NBA annual calendar?
Now, how about you?
I just asked you the question first. I'm gonna answer the question.
Hey, man, look. As I said, guys are out there, I feel like, playing more competitive, getting closer to the end of the tournament. Because what is about, each team plays about 6-7 games?
Yes, that
Yeah.
The max you will play is 7 if you get to the final.
Yeah, man, like, I don't know. I just felt like majority of the guys, like, they just treated it like another game. And when they looked up, it was like, oh, okay, we got a chance. Now, the semifinal games, I felt like guys did play hard in those games. And I expect the game tonight to be very competitive. But these are two teams that always get after it. Giannis always gets after it. And the OKC Thunder, they always get after it. So from that standpoint, I don't think, like, it's made that much of a difference. Ultimately,
I've seen a rise in competition from players. I believe that, yeah, like you said, as the rounds go on, you definitely see rotations get shortened more, and it feels more like a playoff game from the moment you get to the knockout rounds, I would say. You see the rotation start to shorten. But I've also seen players take their game to the next level in the absence of certain stars as well. Like, one of the best games I feel in cup play was between Atlanta and Boston. Trae Young was out and Dyson Daniels had a career performance in the TD Garden and helped the Hawks escape with a win against the Celtics, which proved to be the tiebreaker game that helped them win Group C in the East. So I like what I've seen thus far from players that have played in the event. And I don't have a problem overall, like I said, with the event for the most part. But as you know, Torrance, we saw a pair of semifinal contests in the NBA Cup that featured two small market franchises, the same ones we'll see duke it out in the championship game, in addition to several young teams who feature players that the casual viewer or fan at home who doesn't watch games religiously on League Pass might not be entirely familiar with, such as the Atlanta Hawks with Jalen Johnson, for the Houston Rockets, who feature Alperen Sengun, Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith Jr., alongside Tari Eason. Some may also be familiar with Jalen Green, however, some may not be. During the semifinal matchup on the west side of the bracket between the Rockets and Thunder, many critics were quick to point out how atrocious both teams shot from beyond the arc over the course of the game, with stats to display what all transpired, in addition to how they didn't find the game to be appealing from an aesthetic standpoint, with some going as far to say that this wasn't the ideal semifinal matchup that the NBA had in mind, despite some fans in recent years having an urge to express how they wanted to see high-level one-on-one defense being played and received throughout the matchup as the two teams entered the contest boasting the top defenses in the league. This was something that I know you hinted at in episode 5 when you spoke on the importance of viewership for these NBA Cup games, when I was in the process of sharing my predictions on the four teams I thought would make it to Vegas. In addition to how important it is for the league to make it a legit event, as you had an established star in LeBron James guide the Lakers to the inaugural in-season tourney crown a year ago. Do you believe that the NBA Cup is an event that can be effectively utilized to promote the game's premier young teams and stars in future seasons?
I think that they can't rely on a single event to do something that they need to be doing across the board year round. No, I'm watching a game with people and I gotta explain to them the importance of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams and Trae Young and Jalen Johnson. I gotta explain to them why this means so much to Giannis. Bro, I'm just sitting here trying to watch the game like everybody else. But whether it's the pregame shows, whether it's the commercials, whether it's, like I said, the courts, the league got to do a better job of making these guys and these games more important. You know? Well, we need some before the game montages, like, do we need to like really show the statistical comparison of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Michael Jordan? Because the statistically they very similar. I don't think market size matters. I don't. You know, like people keep like all of this small market, underdog, bro. Reality in real life, people look at the NBA like the money league. People still know that when you watching football, the money don't even matter. Cause like it ain't an amount of money that you could pay some people to go out there and get hit. So it's always a respect level that the fans have for the game. Your average fan don't want to hear that a guy that's making $40 million a year to play basketball all of a sudden want to play harder tonight because it's an extra $500,000 on the line. That's not enough of incentive to like build stars. But what will build stars is the young guys against the LeBrons, against the Stephs. You know, they're almost a passing of the torch type of games. You need to have more of those in primetime matchups. You can't just rely on it's a lot of novelty and a lot of gimmicks, it feels like right now with the league. From the NBA Cup, the play-in tournament, the changes they're talking about making to the All-Star game, it's like it goes back to these novelty ideas, and it's like we as fans care about people and competition. That's why people gravitated to a Anthony Edwards and a Ja Morant, because you feel their presence on the screen. You feel like these are real people playing basketball. Right now, it feel like AI-generated basketball.
I believe that the NBA Cup is an event that can be effectively utilized to promote the game's premier young teams and stars. However, I do believe that the league, as Torrence alluded to, has to do a better job of selling their stars. I also believe, with that said, that there are some fans that have to do as Stacey King would allude to on many of his Bulls broadcasts, which is KYP. You got to know your personnel. You know, some of the rhetoric that I heard about the Houston Oklahoma City Thunder game, it was kind of amazing to me how I've heard a lot of fans discuss how they want to see high level one-on-one defense being played. And even though they saw it, I'm not so sure as to whether or not they appreciate it. Now, the guys missed some shots, absolutely. I'm not going to say that it was like that every single possession, but for the most part, it was. But did some guys miss some shots that were wide open and there for the taking? Yeah. But overall, I thought it was a well-played physical game. And that's the type of physicality that fans want to see, right? Or so I thought. But I'm curious to know which fans have a gripe with it. I think I know. Based off of what I've seen on social media, but I don't see too many fans putting their voices behind what they say on social media. I also sense a lot of disconnect between members of the media with players. And I think as a result of that, we have a media constituency that doesn't really know these players in a manner that they need to know them in an effort to sell them to the general public, you know, be it to the fans in America or around the world. And we know that the NBA is a global sport. So I believe that the NBA Cup can be a terrific event that helps promote young teams and stars. But like Torrence said, you have to do that nonstop. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I believe, is a player that is worthy of national attention. It's a shame that the Oklahoma City Thunder boasts the best record in the Western Conference, and they don't even have a Christmas Day game. I have a problem with that. Not only do I have a problem with that, I also have a problem with the fact that I believe they only have like one nationally televised game until maybe like mid-January. Like that's an issue. That's a significant issue. I talked about this over the summer with the Orlando Magic. You take a young guy like Paolo Banchero, who's the number one overall pick a few years ago, and has cemented himself as an all-star player in this league through his rookie contract, and has put Orlando at the epicenter of many discussions of among the top teams in the Eastern Conference. But yet you don't see him get the media attention that he should get. And I do put that on the league. And not only do I put that on the league, I put that on their partners. So overall, I think that the league needs to do a better job of promoting these young players because the changing of the guard is more evident now than it's ever been before. And that's no disrespect to Kevin Durant or Stephen Curry, even LeBron James, who we haven't really gotten a chance to talk about yet through the first few episodes of this show. But as a guy that, you know, we admire and we love him for what he's been able to contribute to the game over the last 22 seasons. But it's a new day and age now. And I think a lot of fans, combined with the media, need to get hit with the times.
Yeah, and it's just not even just the young players. It's the role players. It's almost making characters out of the players to a certain extent. You know, remember the playoff run of a couple of years ago with the Memphis Grizzlies with Dillon Brooks? They turned them into a household name for at least a couple weeks because he decided to say something about LeBron James. Put a mic in front of these guys' face and let them talk, man. Let them, like, you know, let the players sell the game with their personalities. Let it be okay for a guy to be like, hey, I think we're going to win tonight. And if we lose, if they lose, we ain't got to beat them down for the rest of his career about that one time he guaranteed and they lost. Let them go out there the next game and guarantee the next one. Because that's basketball. That's competitiveness. You know, and I think the game has gotten so corporatized. You got a lot of guys coming up in high school with the desires to be an NBA player. So now they start shutting off parts of their personality. I can't post this on the Instagram. I can't say this out loud. I don't want to wear this shoe because I'm trying to get with this shoe company. It's just like Where are the people at? Like, Charles Oakley didn't even average a double double, but we knew who Oak was because Oak went out there, whether he was gonna fight, whether he was gonna push somebody, he was gonna make his presence known on the court. Like this OKC Rockets game, you should have felt the same way with Tyron Eason and Thompson. Anybody that watched the league know them boys some dogs. They getting after.
100%.
The whole pregame show should have been how is Shai gonna score against them when they step in the game? And he got to deal with Dillon Brooks. You know what I'm saying? Are they gonna push Jalen Williams around? Is he gonna have Shai back? Like, sell the game. And then you let the guys on the court go out there and play freely and make the game intense. Hey man, when guys out there trying to win for real, they're not trying to jack up a bunch of threes. It might take a pull-up mid-range jump shot from Shai because that's the only room he can get trying to get around these guys. It might take Hartenstein to elbow a guy in the second quarter to get the room that he gonna need for the box out in the fourth. So it's like an overall issue that, yeah, it's the NBA Cup, but it just brought to light a lot of the issues just overall with the state of the game.
I couldn't agree more with you. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation about the cup itself, because as I talked with you during the midst of that game, I talked about how it's highlighting a lot of the ignorance within the media discourse, man. Like I saw a clip where Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith were discussing Alperen Sengun's play against the New York Knicks. And the New York Knicks, while they made the quarterfinal round, got eliminated by the Atlanta Hawks. They weren't there to talk about the Knicks. It was between the Rockets and the Thunder. And you got Bob Myers trying to get them back on point to talk about, both teams as well as the cash prize that's on the line. But nobody's buying it. And I understand all the conversation as it pertains to ratings and whatnot, but I don't understand how fans can seek to have concern about that when you pay close attention to how the game is being sold to the consumer. Especially the consumer that one would identify whose appearance of the game as a casual fan. Because a lot of these fans, I'm not trying to shun any fan's intelligence. I understand people have jobs, people have a variety of things that preoccupy their mind throughout a 24/7, 365-day a year cycle. But when you consider that, you have to find a way to sell these players in a way, as well as their personalities. And I feel like that's why some of these players' personalities have been crafted up, because a lot of them know that they're not able to be themselves, because if they try and be themselves, the vitriol that they may face, even if not just from social media, but from the media members themselves. Like I have a significant problem with it. I understand the need to have established stars at this event. But when you don't have them, you should be ready to focus and shed light on the younger players. However, we're not doing that. It is an NBA media right now, and that does concern me about the future of the game, despite the new TV deal that has come about will carry the league over the next decade.
Yeah, and then you have instances where you have players like a Draymond Green that brings the sort of intensity that people love, they claim they want to see, the defense, the trash talk, putting somebody in a headlock, trying to start a fight out there on the court. But then you will have people turn around and say, "Oh man, that's stupid, man. That ain't gonna be able to make the playoffs, so they ain't gonna be able to win the championship." And now everybody want to play armchair GM in those situations. And it's like, let those guys have those moments. Like, what happened to men being men and settling in our issues on the court? Hockey, they get to do it. Football, they get to do it. Hey, even baseball got their little traditions of how they handle beef on the field. But the NBA, I mean, guys can't even put their hands in the air after a three. You can't even dunk on a guy and scream in his face.
Yeah.
You
know
what I'm
saying?
So,
True.
So it's like, if I can't express myself, then how do you expect intensity? See, I think we got a small majority that, and it's a lot of them that are podcasters. A lot of guys, well, I ain't grow up no hooper, so I ain't gonna get this misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? But I'm somebody that always observed the game, loved the game, whether it's on the playground, a high school game, whatever. A lot of these guys that have an opinion on the league, they started liking basketball in 2011, 2012 when the Heatles came around. They're narrative fans. They're not fans of basketball. But for some reason, because they got a lot of, I guess you could say, direct connection to the league through his partners, they've been able to have their influence on the game, a game that they don't truly understand or love. And now you're starting to even see, like you said, Stephen A., Kendrick Perkins. You had Stephen A., even like what Molly had to get him in line, like, dude, you only care about games in L.A. and New York and Miami.
The major markets.
So why don't – so excuse my language, why the fuck is he on my TV for the NBA Cup? Like when you said, we got a bunch of new guys that the world need to get accustomed to and get to know. And he don't know. He don't know them guys. It was his first time seeing them too. And instead of taking that opportunity to be honest and be like, man, you know what? It's my first time seeing these guys. These guys play hard. They do this on the court. They do this on the court. Like, get back to the game. They spending a whole segment instead of promoting the game talking about, oh, man, where the stars at? You missing out on a great, intense basketball game. Now you got the combination of the two coming up in the finals. So hopefully we see a better job.
I agree. And I think the finals, actually, despite it being two small market franchises, like you said, you're going to see a couple of all-stars, Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks, alongside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I'm pretty sure if you told most fans that don't keep up with the NBA as we might or our listeners might, if you probably told a casual fan that last year he was the runner-up for the NBA MVP, they might not even believe you, or they might be surprised by that. But he was, and he's going to be in the running for the award this season.
Well, last year he got robbed of the award because in the traditional sense,
I agree with you.
In the traditional sense, the best player on the best team in a regular season, majority of the time, is the MVP of the league. Nope. If you take Shai off of OKC, they're definitely not the number one seed in the Western Conference. Bro putting up Michael Jordan numbers out there. He out there doing, giving you a good combo of the ISO game, breaking people down off the dribble, attacking the rim. He hitting mid-ranges. He don't shoot a lot of threes. He move the ball. He plays defense because I think he one of the highest in the league in steals.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, he do the fashion thing. I don't always agree with his fits, but I don't got to wear the clothes he wear. And nor are we both trying to attract each other. So, hey, but he does that thing. So this is a guy that's really priming himself to be a face of the league. They love international players, right? He from Canada.
Canada, yep.
But he might be, I don't know, maybe he too nigga for them. I don't know. Just being real.
Then so now you that we...
Go oh, ahead. No, I was just saying, but now then you got a great supporting cast over there, too. You got J-Dub. You got Chet, who not playing. You got guys like Isaiah Joe over there, Caruso, Hardenstein. Like, you got, if you a real NBA fan, you got guys that's really out there playing. We know the Bucks, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Thanasis, Doc, Darvin Ham. Like, come on, man.
No, we know them very well, you know, even dating back to the Mike Budenholzer days when they won a championship a few years
Bobby
ago.
Portis.
Bobby
Shout
Portis,
out to,
yes.
yeah. Quit playing, bro.
So now that we've gotten the discourse out of the way as it pertains to our thoughts on the NBA Cup format, its future, and more, let's cut to the chase and see who you think will take home the $500,000 in cash with the trophy. We have a Bucks team that, to their credit, has utilized this event as part of their way to rally back from a 2-8 start to the season to win 12 out of their last 15 outings. They're behind the two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, was not shot under 50% in a single out in this season, all the while managing to score at least 20 points or more through 23 games played during that stretch, as the Greek Freak and Damian Lillard seem to be finally learning how to complement one another on the floor within the two-man game they've established under head coach Doc Rivers, while the Thunder continue to not miss a single beat despite the absence of Chet Holmgren, as you mentioned, among a few others in the front court, having gone 12-3 over the course of his absence, led behind SGA's 32.2 points per game in NBA Cup play, alongside of his 6.2 rebounds and 6.5 assists per game on a 50-40-90 shooting clip through the last six games of the Cup. In addition to Jalen Williams, as you mentioned, and Isaiah Hartenstein, who is currently averaging a double-double to go beside nearly three blocks a game in Cup play thus far. I know that I successfully predicted this matchup and said that I'm rolling with the Thunder in last week's episode. I'm going to be a man of my word and stick with that pick, even though I do believe it will be a close contest. Once again, this game will have gone final once this episode drops for all the listeners. But I want to know, Torrence, who are you going with to capture the second annual NBA Cup?
I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, I mean, the team that when we first, like episode one or two, we were asked, who did we see turning a season around? The Bucks or the Sixers?
Right.
I was wrong.
I was too.
Giannis decided that one way or another, he was going to get shit done. And man, been on the rampage for a long stretch of the season. Now he got a chance. Like if he keep playing the way he playing, he definitely could end up being MVP once again. He already got two MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, Finals MVP, and this would be another trophy to add to the trophy case. You know, NBA Cup, win the NBA Cup MVP. I'm sure they're gonna probably name it after Bron or something. And then you got Damian Lillard. I seen Lillard do an interview saying, "Hey man, he hasn't won any team awards in the NBA. It'd be good to win something." So I'm expecting Giannis and Dame to go out there and show the, you know, the veteran power, the superstar power, and go out here and get this job done. And you know, man, shout out to the West Side, man. I hope Doc get one done too, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it has. It will
Oh, and
be.
Darvin Ham, shout out to Darvin Ham, bro. He undefeated in the NBA Cup. Like,
I
no
know.
real
Yeah,
shit. He
I saw that.
undefeated, man.
I
He
saw
about
that.
to
I saw
he.
that. It will be back to back.
He gonna be the first two-time winner of this whole thing, man. Shout out to Saginaw too, man.
It would be a cool honor to see it. Yeah, he hasn't lost a game in Cup play during his time as a coach or as an assistant coach, in this case with the Milwaukee Bucks. But it would be nice to see them win it. I won't lie. I like the way that Giannis has been playing. Been playing some incredible basketball. Once he gets a full head of steam in the front court, there's no player that's more exciting to watch finish in transition than him. Outside of LeBron James in his prime, to me, like he's really been putting together some majestic outings and efficient outings at that. And Damian Lillard, if he can hold up his end of the bargain defensively, I think they'll have a chance, because I know SGA and J-Dub, they're going to seek their headhunt him on some screen and rolls and get him isolated like they like to do.
Who's stopping Giannis in the paint?
That's a great question. That's one of the main questions that I've been thinking about in this matchup. I think what's going to happen is I think J-Dub going to start the game on him, but Hartenstein going to have to be a rover or help defender, and they're going to have to double him on them driving kicks and hope that somebody else is able to take the ball and not execute when they get the open threes. And I think this is what the game is going to come down to. I think it's going to come down to who makes threes. We've seen Oklahoma City struggle in that department, as great as they are offensively when SGA has it rolling. If Milwaukee can hit some threes, they can make it a game. I'm still rolling with the Thunder because I really believe that SGA could use this as a nice opportunity to leverage himself and make a case, not only to the fans that are watching, but the league itself, why he deserves to be advertised in a much grander light than what he has been, especially knowing that he got that Converse shoe on the way with that logo that just dropped and they had promoted across Times Square not long ago.
I ain't even seen the logo yet, but hey, I know he also, if you a fan, you got your favorite team out here. This is a guy, like we said, MVP candidate who may be a free agent in a couple of seasons too as well. So you definitely might want to get familiar from that standpoint because you're going to see a lot of trades during this trade deadline that may have something to do with him and another guy we'll speak about at another time. I don't think it's going to be three-point shooting. I mean, the Bucks going to get their threes for sure. But I really think it's going to be a free throw game that's really going to come down to. We got Shea. He likes to get to the line. We know Giannis is going to get to the line. So it's really going to be, I think, more of a ball control free throw game, honestly.
And it very well could be. But and as you know, when it comes to the free throw line, whoever's the most aggressive team when it comes to attacking the paint is more than likely going to win. But I just believe when you say who's going to stop Giannis, it's going to be a group effort. You know, ain't no, they don't have a choice. And I think Hartenstein, he's going to have to really do a great job of roving around the paint and helping J-Dub, who's going to have his hands full with him.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Thanasis, bro. That's really.
Yeah, I don't know what he done did, man, but
he turned them up.
Yeah, he like the hype man lately. Yeah, I be seeing him with the games turned up and jumping up and down.
Yeah, that's his brother, man. That's how it's supposed to be, man. Brothers, bro. That's how it's for supposed sure. to be. You supposed to hype your mans up all the way to the end.
At all times. I'm not mad at him. Moving away from the conversation pertaining to all things regarding the NBA Cup, to highlight a primetime matchup set to take place this week and be featured on the league's national television camera. Karl-Anthony Towns makes his return to the place where his professional career began as a visitor with the New York Knicks this Thursday as the all-star big man will get the chance to go head-to-head against former teammate Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves in downtown Minneapolis at the Target Center as part of the TNT NBA Thursday doubleheader against followed by Magic and Thunder in Orlando. We got a lot of games set to go down, Torrance. What game do you have your eye on this week for week 9?
I mean, honestly, I just got my eye on that game, right? The Knicks T-Wolves game. Mm-hmm. I mean, both teams right now is looking like the Knicks may have gotten the better part of that trade, that deal right there. And we're just curious to see how it looks, you know, one-to-one against each other. Towns against Julius Randle, the backcourt matchup with Anthony Edwards against Jalen Brunson. You know, so that's the game I'm looking forward to. I ain't even got another one. I ain't going to lie to you.
Game is slated to tip off at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time and 8:30 p.m. Central time for those that seeking to watch it. Like I said, it's the nightcap game on TNT shortly after Thunder versus Magic in Orlando. The game for me this week is a game that you probably wouldn't expect me to say, but if you know me, you understand why. It's Saturday, I believe, you have the Detroit Pistons going up against the Phoenix Sun at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I don't know if you guys know, I shouted him out last week on episode 5, but Cade Cunningham right now, ladies and gentlemen, playing like an all-star, putting up 20 and 10 numbers left and right, just coming off recently a game in which he had 20 plus points to go alongside an 18 plus assist and an overtime win against the Miami Heat at home. I think this is a guy that a lot of fans need to have their eyes on. We talk about young stars in the league. I don't think he's getting enough attention. And this is a guy that a lot of fans question whether or not his game will translate to the next level. I think we're seeing it. Kevin Durant, he's back for Phoenix. And since he's come back, they haven't missed a beat. Look at their record with him versus their record without him. He may not be the most valuable player in the league, but he's damn sure the most valuable player to his team.
Oh, man. Cade Cunningham. Big shout out to him, man. Like you referenced earlier, that crazy shit you said about John Collins winning most improved player. That's your most improved player right there, Cade Cunningham. Every time I check the box score, dude putting up crazy triple doubles. We know last year Detroit had the season from hell. We know out of a lot of the previous number one picks in the league, he's probably the one with the lowest acclaim of recent. But, like, man, this year, like you said, man, that's an all-star. So, definitely check Cade Cunningham out. Most improved player candidate.
And Detroit currently, as of this recording, has a half a game lead over Brooklyn for the 10th and final spot in the play-in round out east. So, if they could continue playing at the level that they have been, I'm curious to see whether or not they can stay there. And just to put it in perspective, they have 11 wins thus far this season. And they didn't get their 11th win until March last year. So J.B. Bickerstaff has his young guys playing well. And Cade has definitely been a big spark and piece in that. J.B. Bickerstaff.
J.B. Bickerstaff. Shout out to J.B. Bickerstaff going in there and actually, like, doing his job, man. Because, you know, Monty Williams, right? Hey, that's why you got to be a nice guy in life. They don't even see it coming. That man went in there and got that money. That man got that money and went home.
Yeah, he coaching his son at the high school ranks now.
Is he actually coaching?
Yeah. he coaching them, man. He getting a fact check for the Detroit Pistons as a result.
Why money keep acting like he want to go to work, man? Man, Detroit gave him all that money, man. Go home, man.
Well, that's community service. At this point, what he doing, he just
you know what? It is community service because he should have been locked up for stealing that damn money like he did last year.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on this week's edition of the New 24 Podcast. Once again, if you've taken the time to listen in and enjoy all of what you've heard thus far, through not only this episode, but the first five prior to this one, please don't hesitate to follow along, subscribe to the podcast, wherever it is you may be listening from, and know that we truly appreciate your support. In addition to also leaving a five-star rating, letting us know your thoughts on the New 24 Podcast as well. You can stay tapped in and ensure that you don't miss any future episodes to drop every Wednesday morning throughout the season by following the official RSS feed for the show, which is rss.com/podcast/TNTF. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at What Gave Said, GAVE, and Torrance at TStacks_STACKS to chop it up with us on all things pertaining to the game itself and more. For myself, Gabriel Wilkins, and my co-host, Torrance Stagger, we hope that you have a great and productive week. So long, everybody.